May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Let's begin with an uncomfortable question. And that uncomfortable question is, how do we say no to God? Again, how are we saying no to God? We all do from time to time. And we have this idea that it's impossible to say no to God, but it really isn't. I think we have that idea because all the famous stories in the Bible have people saying no, like Jonah, then eventually having their lives turn around, and they can't help but say yes in the end. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes God does say, okay, you've said no, and shrugs his shoulders and walks away, much to our disadvantage. So with that in mind, how are we saying no to God currently? See, the thing is, I don't think we'll probably have an angelic visitation, and I don't think we'll be asked to do anything as big as Joe was asked. But still, we have to look at him and realize that we uphold him for a reason. And that reason is that he had enough faith to believe, and in that belief then acted. And oh boy, we can't even begin to imagine what he was going through. The gospel passage just so sanitizes it all, but when he plans to dismiss Mary quietly, it's the lesser of two evils. Now, granted, I don't think God would let the mother of God ever be stoned to death, but if a woman was convicted of adultery back then, that could happen. But to be dismissed meant probably a life of homelessness and prostitution. Again, I don't think God would ever intend that to happen, but at the time, Joseph didn't know that. Can you imagine what was going on in his mind? The woman he's engaged to is pregnant, but not with his kid. He had to have felt betrayed. If we felt betrayed in our lives, we know how awful and rotten that feels. What bitterness and sadness and sorrow that betrayal can bring upon us. He couldn't have been in a good place. And I doubt even he went to sleep that night. I don't think it was a dream visit. I think it was an actual visit, because how could you go to sleep having your whole life upended? I'm sure he had pictured a whole different existence than what was offered to him. Before the news, I'm sure he pictured a whole different life with Mary. And now, this, her pregnant, not by him. Just imagine the tossing and turning that had to involve. See, the thing is, we might not know the pain of betrayal firsthand, but we all know suffering. We all know change of lives. We all know things not happening as we pictured them. And we know the anguish and stress that can cause. And so that's the place Joseph's in. And just when you think God is absent, God comes and says, hey, Joe, you got to do this. Now, I think the miracle is that he actually believed. I think the miracle is that he actually believed and had enough faith to believe the angel and say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this boy as my own. And it was hard. Truth is, we don't know all that much about Joseph. We know a lot more about his more than famous ancestor, another Joseph who had a rock opera, Joseph of the Technicolor Dreamcoat, written about his life. The other Joseph became the second most powerful person in the world at the time. But now this descendant with the same name, a carpenter, takes on as his wife, an unwed teen mom, and then in that state will listen to another angel, because like his ancestor, has he has dreams too. And the angel says, you know what? You have to become a refugee. The baby's life is in danger. Your lives are in danger. As all parents whose children are in danger do, they become refugees for the sake of the child. And then another dream, when they find out it's safe to return to their home country, they go back. And the last we hear about old Joe is when Jesus is 13 and disappears in the crowds at Jerusalem, disobeys the parents as teens can so do. But then we don't know anything else. He must have died. But by his saying yes, the prophecy was fulfilled. Emmanuel, God with us, came into reality. And we're here this morning because of that. Now again, what are we saying no to? See, the thing is, I really don't want to have an angelic visit. And I want Jesus to call me on the phone, because that means something really, really big is going to happen, like happened to Joseph and Mary. But God does give us those nudges. Doesn't God do that from time to time? Sometimes God gives us annoying words through the voice of another. Sometimes God gives us pastors who just really, you know, get us angst-filled. Sometimes God does all kinds of soft-spoken things to say, hey, you know what? This ought to get done. And you're the one to do this. And how easy is it to say no? Oh, that seems so boring, God. I don't want to do that. Or they're going to get mad at me. They don't want to hear what I have to say. I'm not going to do that. And we can do that over and over and over and over again. But when we do, then you know what? It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of belief. It's not acknowledging Emmanuel, that God is with us. But when we do act upon the voice, when we listen to God say, hey, do this, when we remember others like Joe who believed and said yes and acted, then Emmanuel truly is with us. And not only is the other better off, so are we. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, be like Joe. Really be like old Joe. Have faith enough to believe, then act upon what God is asking. And it's not going to be easy, but we'll all be better off. With that, we'll say to God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.